Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, even your own mortal enemies about all this. Because this is something that is definitely going on in the world. This is something of importance. You are listening to Kakuna from the microphone here. I am DJ Butterfly Feces. And on the other side of this microphone is the one, the only, there better not be another one. Comedy Organic, okay. Organic, come on, speak up. Let them know you're here. Organic? Yeah. Organic is absent for the moment. So I'll just start. You're listening to Kakuna from the microphone. It's 9 o'clock here on the dot. We're here. We invite you all not just to listen, but to talk. Get involved with the cause. Come on, call in. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. All right. Now, let me start with the origin story again. Don't worry, I'll try to make it a little shorter than usual. I was a happy, carefree soul living in the beautiful, luxurious town of McKinleyville, California. Now, let me tell you, I have been all over. I have been everywhere. Thanks to Organic OK, I have been. But I tell you one thing. I never really was in a place that was like McKinleyville. I know everybody screams hometown pride wherever they're from. But I was in McKinleyville, and it was beautiful. It was honestly, I had everything there was to do there. You can do everything. In McKinleyville, it's in Northern California. It snows. It's Southern California. You can ski, sled, snowboard, but we also have a beach. So you can surf, boogie board, windsail, parasail, tan. McKinleyville. Our motto is where horses have the right of way. I went horseback riding, too. I went hiking. I did everything there was to do there. I lived the life. I did it all. Why? Because the truth was, I could. Yeah, I did it all there. Skateboarding, running around, walking, hiking, all that. And the simple, sad scientific fact was that I didn't really do a lot of preparing for the future. I mean, you're a kid, you're supposed to have fun. You gotta have your childhood, but you also spend a lot of your time, you gotta think personally about your future. You gotta prepare for what's ahead, for the adulthood of what life is gonna do to you. You gotta prepare for that. I didn't really do that. I didn't think I had to. I was so busy indulging myself and all the whatever. And I just kept telling myself, you know, when I get to be an adult, I'll do anything. I'll take any job. Anything. As long as I can sit back and smell the roses. Stop and enjoy this life. I said that. Organic, is that you? Are you there? Sounds like he's off in the distance doing something. Anywho, back to me. I was a C average student my whole life. I did the bare minimum, and I got by. I just eked by. Then finally, I left high school. I finally graduated. Never thought the day would come. And the truth is, it came. It came and went, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm an adult now. In the adult world, I'm not a kid anymore. My job is to prepare. To prepare. To prepare for the future. But what was I going to do? I just stayed in my hometown, and I was still doing a lot of the same old stuff. But even I was looking around and noticed a lot of people who were doing the stuff I was, they were still kids, and I was an adult now. People whispered. Hanging out with kids, people started to get the wrong idea. tried to explain to them that basically I was a guy who was still trying to live the way I always had, but I was starting to hold on to a life that wasn't working for me anymore. And that's something. I basically still stayed in my parents' house in the bedroom. I called it a one-room apartment, but see, in a way, that implies that I was paying rent. I wasn't. Once again, I would have gotten a job, but the truth was, there just, how do I put this? There wasn't really a lot of jobs available in McKinleyville or other places to live there. See, McKinleyville is so beautiful. We got so much going on there that nobody wanted to leave. The people who really eventually did have to leave, my parents told me, my father sat me down and told me, you know, some people, when they need a place to live, they're looking for a job or whatever, they have to leave town. They have to leave the state even. They go places where the work is. They got to move to get by. In a way, he had a point. And I was just thinking, where would I go? I had a Blog Talk Radio show of my own before. Before we did this, I had my own Blog Talk Radio show. It's true. See, I was on the air. I was a soapbox guy. You know, I wasn't spinning records. I was always ranting and raving about what was going on in the world. What was wrong with this country, with the human race? And it would be a better world if we just, you know. I was kind of like the radio. Like most people, I listen to radio for the music. But the thing is, what's left for radio to do? After free music downloading and news being put on the internet, what can radio do anymore anyway? I felt like radio should still be used to get the message out, whatever it might be. It's true. Anywho, the truth is, I was thinking long and hard about what I was going to do next. And really, I got frustrated about it, but I still sat in my parents' house just going nuts there. Finally, around the holidays, my dad, told me he wanted me out. Now, you know how sometimes parents want their kids to really leave the nest so they can have time together to themselves and whatever? Yeah, my father wasn't really like that. You got to understand, my father was, how do I put this? My father hated my mother. I mean, I think my parents got together really basically just because they didn't have anything better to do, anybody else interested in them, and that's why they stayed together. I mean, basically they let me stay as long as they did because otherwise they'd talk to each other. Yeah, they didn't want to do that. My parents always despised each other. And they kept me around as sort of a buffer, but they got to the point where that didn't mean they wanted me around either. Sure enough, lo and behold, my father said to me around the holidays, I want you out. Around the holidays. So I packed my bag. I only packed it halfway. I didn't have much stuff. I left the clothes on my back. I walked out the door. Now, when you first walk out the door, it's really something when you're homeless. For the first time when you're homeless, it really is something when you're homeless. It doesn't quite sink in. It doesn't quite hold resonance. It takes a while for you to really basically, you got to spend some time on the street before you finally think, oh my God, I'm one of them. At first, you don't think you are. You don't think you're homeless. You don't think of yourself as one of them. Really, you're an outsider. You're the exception to the rule. I'm not like them. But dear God, it was snowing. I took a walk down Hammond Trail, down the creek. You know what I mean? I basically thought long and hard about what was, what is, what will always be, what I was going to do next. Now, I didn't know. I really, truly didn't. I kept thinking, man, my parents will come, they're going to let me back in. They're not actually going to throw me on the street. I can't have come to this. But I had. It was true. Anywho, there I was walking down Hammond Trail, down the creek, passing by the waterfall. Yeah, we have one of those in McKinleyville, too. We have one of those. We have one of those. Now, I happened to pass by the camping site, and there were a whole bunch of people there. A lot of people. There were people there. There was basically a whole bunch of them. I was surprised. I knew everybody in town, but I didn't know these people. I thought they must be tourists. They sort of were. Yeah, they were sitting around there, cooking their food outdoors, talking, jiving, you know, talk about this and that, yada, yada, yada. I said hello, introduced myself. I sat down with them. They offered me some of their food. Then the big guy, who was apparently the leader, one of them told me, he told me his name. He told me his name was Comedy Organic OK. I thought it was a weird moniker, but whatever. He told me his story, how he was going around the world. He was a philanthropist trying to pick up garbage and pick homeless people up off the streets, creating better services for this ongoing epidemic problem. I told him that I was well, basically, I had just been kicked out of my house by my parents, who didn't want me there anymore, around the holidays, no less. And, well, you get the idea. I did. I told them about how I didn't want them around there anymore. They told me I didn't want them either, but I don't know what I was going to do now. What are the options in the world? Even if they build more houses for people to live in, who's going to create more jobs for them? Seems like every single second technology is evolving, more people are thrown out in the streets, homeless and all that. They agreed, and they said they were going to try to fix the problem as best they could. One of them extended his hand to me. I basically just, Organic said to me, you want to join us? I couldn't believe it. I was invited to be a part of something, part of some crusade. I never saw myself as having an important job, doing much to the big picture. But he said, come on. He said it. I couldn't believe it. He saw me and said, dude, get on one knee, get on one knee. I did. He touched me on the shoulder with his two fingers, and he soared like he knighted me. He said, RW, DJ Butterfly Feces. Well, that's why he gave me that name. He told me all about how, because he had heard and believed I was a TJ, I tried to explain it. No, I'm not. I was on Blog Talk Radio, but I did editorials. I didn't spin records. And why butterfly feces? He explained this to me. Okay, dude, everybody knows that when the caterpillar goes into a cocoon, spins a cocoon, and it spends all its time in there, it emerges as a beautiful butterfly, right? Yeah. The metaphor for life is there. And you know what? No wonder that butterfly, it makes boo-boo. It takes a dump like everything else. And that crap, whatever, helps everything grow. Everything. Yeah. That is the butterfly dropping. If he's from that fertilizer, things grow. Life grows. It's 9:15 here on the program. Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only. Let us know what you're thinking. Call us in. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Organic, are you there? All right. Anywho, before I knew it, I was one of them. He had made me one of them. Now, the truth is, well, I was all terrified of what was going to happen next, what we're going to do. And before I knew it, there we were, I was one of them. I mean, I basically slept at the campsite with them, whatever. And the very next morning, we were in an airplane, and we flew all the way to Vicenza, Italy, for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. It was so beautiful there. It was beautiful. Dang, it was beautiful. I mean, they got a lot of fireworks like we got over here, but also they have a better way of doing their food and their cuisine. Now, the truth is, there was that. But I was still thinking about what was going to happen next. What? It was a real thing. Now, there we were, basically, picking up garbage there. And, you know, not all of them speak English, but quite a bit of them do, because it's one of the most common speaking languages in the world. And you know what else? As we were picking up garbage, I noticed a lot how artsy, basically, Italy is. There was graffiti, just it was very different, like the kind that basically came from our home. It was kind of beautiful. It was beautiful. It was basically just kind of gorgeous. It's a very artsy town. And then we've been going all over. Now, if you've been following our previous show, the last place we were in was Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. That's where we were last. It was beautiful. It was dang beautiful. It was basically gorgeous, breathtakingly so. It was better than anything. I mean that. And as we were basically, you know, taking it all in, we were checking it all out, how beautiful it all was, we came across the problem, the same problem that every single other place we had been to had. There was garbage. And there were people all the streets. At one point, I said, can we get away from the city just a little bit? Organic said, yeah, sure. You know, they got a beach here. Want to go to the beach? I said, yeah. I'm sure the beach there wasn't going to be as beautiful as it was in McKinleyville. Now, we got a beach, but anyway, before I knew it, we went to the beach. We were at the beach. McKinleyville Beach. It was beautiful. It was to become something gorgeous. The beach was beautiful. And for a moment, I felt like a taste of home. Before I knew it, I looked around and I saw, once again, homeless people. There they all were, in spades. There they were. They seemed to decorate basically a great deal of the beach. But you know what? I wasn't repelled by it. I didn't say, oh, God, It's sad. It's disgusting. It's a bad thing. As a matter of fact, I thought they gave the place some attitude. Beach bums. They're not like other homeless people. There's something a little special about them. They're different than the ones that are basically from the city that are sleeping on the streets. Beach bums are different. I asked them. I said, we're not from around here. Now, the truth is, once again, I tried to basically make it clear that I wasn't one of those people who believed all the stereotypes, even though I had a lot of stereotypes. I had a lot of ideal about how I expected things to be, you know, like a stereotype, you know, like Australia, I was expecting everyone's going to be drinking, you know, that particular type of beer. Everyone's going to be basically dressed like a wild outback adventurer. There are going to be kangaroos everywhere, people throwing boomerangs and whatnot. I had my own preconceived notions. But one thing I noticed is that vagrants, a lot of their spirit was the same wherever you went. I was a dang, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. So there I was, trying to do better. Trying to be better. I picked up garbage. I asked some of the other vagrants to help me. They said they didn't want to. You know what? I had to expect that. Nearly everywhere we went, I tried to ask some of the other vagrants to help us pick up the garbage. But none of them wanted to basically help a system that threw them out like garbage. Basically, you know, when they deem them worthless, you know? You notice that if the system says we can't use this person, they throw you out like you're garbage. You're considered obsolete, disposable. You're left to rot on the street like an old piece of outdated junk just somebody threw away. People are thrown out the same way. They're thrown out with the garbage. It's sad. It's scary. It's life. I basically asked them, you guys surf a lot? You guys like to surf? Some of the vagrants had a surfboard that they all shared. They all took turns riding this skateboard. No, surfboard. Excuse me, surfboard, catching some waves. Now, the truth is, it was basically an exhausting thing. I want to say, it's messed up is what it is. But I don't know. I try to tell myself that basically part of being on this street with all these people, part of basically all this, is that we do it because it needs to be done. Because it can be done, because it should be done, because it's meant to be done. Truth is, it's all basically meant to be achieved. We're all meant to do something. Like, that's one of the reasons that I personally am here. I'm here to help. And the truth is, they don't really notice charity and goodwill unless some celebrity does it. That's the real reason that we're trying to get famous. We're trying to get noticed about, because if we were professional celebrities and our tens of people liked, then people are actually going to care when you do a good deed. You notice when celebrities, when their movies aren't, albums aren't selling, they go around there, they do charity work, then the whole world takes notice. But an ordinary person who basically makes a point to pick up the garbage that somebody else dropped, not just because they're looking for a job, but because it should be done, they're not looked at as exciting heroes, as people who are important. It's a fact. Organic, are you there? We should talk about this. I showed basically some of the Melbourne Australians basically that I knew how to surf, that I learned it in McKinleyville. I'm the only one that knew how. I'm the only one that knew what to do. I knew. It was really basically, it was something. I had done it. I had done it for that greater good. And I would do it all again if I didn't get the credit, which I feel like I'm not really getting. We all kept surfing and surfing. We told stories. I explained to them my story of McKinleyville and how I'd gone around, although we were going around however, picking up garbage and helping and saving the world. That was all part of a great good. It was all part of that. That it was basically something important. And we did it because we were meant to. I was proud. I explained, I was proud to be DJ Butterfly Feces. The one and only accept no substitutions. Once again, as we were still picking up trash, not just at the beach, but pretty much all over and whatever, I said, there's something special about Australia. It's one of those cities that's just kind of a little bit better. I like it here. They got something. They have civilization here. Sure, whatever, but you know what? They also have a ruggedness to them. A lot of the natives basically warned me about how dangerous Australia can be. The most wild, dangerous animals are here. Dang. I said, we're here. We're doing something great. In closing, I want to say, I don't have much time left, but I want to say, everybody, we were proud to go to all those cities and basically help pick up all that garbage. But dang it, we all need to be doing this. Because if we basically stop throwing garbage everywhere, we stop throwing garbage everywhere, you know what else we could do? We could basically, I don't know. No, we could start focusing entirely on the homeless problem. One problem goes away, we can focus on another one. Will a new one form? A new problem? Maybe. Please get involved. Well, thank you all for listening. Kakuna for the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces. No, remember, we're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Remember, you can pick up all our shows off blogtalkradio.com. Tune in tomorrow for the next chapter. All right? Please. Thank you. And good night.